Have you ever heard the phrase, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it? Well, not only have I heard that phrase, there have been times when I've used it, and whenever I've used it, and I've heard other people use it, it's typically when voices have gotten very loud, eyes are bulging, faces are red, and it looks like the veins are about to pop out of someone's forehead. Now, the interesting thing about that phrase is that it's used by folks who completely disagree with one another on all sorts of issues. Now imagine two people with polar opposite views on a particular topic, and imagine one of them using that phrase, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, followed up with, I am right and you are wrong. Well, how does the other person respond? Nope, you are wrong and I am right. The view I hold is what the Bible really teaches. Now, how can that be? If both sides of an argument claim to be basing their beliefs on the Bible, but yet their views about a particular topic are completely different, is the problem the Bible? I know plenty of people who would say, yes, the problem is the Bible, don't ever look at it. Well, I disagree. The problem is not the Bible. The problem is us. The problem is me. The problem is you. And I say that for a couple of reasons. First of all of us, most likely by the time we were just a few years old, we had already been given a set of beliefs that we began to adhere to. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing for parents to teach their children. In fact, it is our responsibility. And the beliefs that are handed down to us before we're even able to read, whether we get those beliefs from our parents or our pastor or our Sunday school teacher, those beliefs become like a pair of sunglasses and they color everything we look at. Think about it. If you put on a pair of yellow-tinted sunglasses, they turn everything yellow. If you put on a pair of gray-tinted sunglasses, they turn everything gray. No matter what you look at, it's affected by the lenses that you have placed in front of your eyes. That's just the way it is. And as we approach the Bible, those lenses that have been placed on us affect the way we see and read and interpret everything. And that's not your fault. It's just the way it is for us human beings. When those lenses are placed on, that's the way we see it. And we've been told the Bible says a particular thing. And so when we look at the Bible, that tends to be what we see because we've been wearing those colored glasses from childhood. I think another reason for we human beings having so many different views about different topics, yet claiming our view is the biblical view, is because we might not treat the Bible with the respect it deserves, and we might have bad study habits. We may even be lazy. After all, it's a lot easier just to say, you are wrong and I am right, than it is to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. Remember the Bereans? Listen to what the Bible says about them. Paul and Silas went to Berea. They were preaching and they were teaching, and Acts chapter 17 verse 10 tells us that the people of Berea were more fair-minded, or literally of more noble character than the people in Thessalonica, because they received the word with all readiness, but then they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Do you get the picture? The people listened intently to Paul and Silas, gave an ear to what was being preached. They had a sincere desire to actually learn, but unlike the folks in Thessalonica who basically ran Paul and Silas out of town when they heard something they didn't agree with, the people of Berea went home to dig into the scriptures each day to discover if what Paul taught was true. In other words, the Bereans were a little bit open-minded, which is not a bad thing, but they also assumed personal responsibility for what they believed, and that's important. As Jesus walked on this earth and dealt with the religious leadership of his day, more often than not, he didn't have much good to say about the religious leadership or the religious establishment and what they were doing and teaching. In Matthew chapter 15, he actually said that they were teaching as doctrines of God what were in reality commandments and teachings of men. It's in Matthew chapter 15, I forget the verse. But he basically said, you're teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They may have been able to support or quote scripture to support their view, but somehow in some way, they basically missed the point. A few years ago, I can't remember if I was actually in a bookstore or maybe on Amazon.com. I think I was in a bookstore and I came across a title that struck me. I don't know who the author was, but the book was called Adventures in Missing the Point. Adventures in Missing the Point. And I wonder if that phrase could be used to describe us today. The whole entirety of folks who claim to be Bible believers, but who agree on very little, who fight, argue, and feud, and most of the time we aren't willing to even hear what the other side has to say or even to try and understand where they're getting their viewpoint from. Yet we all claim to believe in the only begotten Son of God who died on the cross and rose from the dead. That's a good thing, but there's all this other stuff that we argue about, fight about, disagree on, and we each claim to be the correct ones. Why are we so fragmented and divided? Again, those shades that we wear color everything. We might be lazy and have bad study habits. And then another reason, I think, that's my reason, is pride. Pride. I admit it. I confess it. I struggle with it. Three of the hardest words for me to say, for any of us to say, are these words, I am wrong, or I was wrong, especially if it comes to admitting we've been wrong about something we've been loudly spouting off for years and years and years. And so it seems that pride might keep us from being able to see or hear or even be willing to understand another person's viewpoint or to even look at the Bible objectively. By the way, speaking of pride, in the book of Proverbs, it lists out several things, seven of them that are an abomination to God. Number one on the list is a proud look, that looking down at other people, thinking you're smarter than them, better than them, or whatever. That's a proud look. It isn't pretty, and God hates it. So anyway, my prayer for me, my prayer for you is that we would be humble, that we would humble ourselves, confess that we are fallible, we have limited understanding, and admit and be willing to say some of what I believe might be wrong. It could possibly be doctrines of men or traditions of men and not truly what the Bible teaches. So I think that's a good thing for us to do, humble ourselves. And then we need to get ready to dig in for ourselves, realizing that it's going to take some work. The Bible tells us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And my hope is that we would diligently seek our Father as we study. Not that we would seek a way to win an argument. There's no reward in that. And listen to those words again. My hope is that we would diligently seek our Father as we study. Seek to know our Lord Jesus. Seek to know our Savior. Not that we would seek to win an argument. See, Paul the Apostle, inspired by the Spirit of God, shared some great words of wisdom with a young pastor named Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he told him to preach the word. In other words, share the word with others. I think Paul would say the same thing to us, share the word with others. But before Timothy could do that effectively, he had to do something else, something most of us fail to do. Listen to what Paul said. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. He said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or rightly cutting, rightly partitioning the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer." Let me read that to you again. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer." In that passage, Paul compares bad doctrine to cancer. That's kind of scary, isn't it? When we get together next time, we'll take a closer look at that passage and then begin to look at some things that might help me and you to be better students of Scripture in the hope of not being ashamed to find out that what we've been saying about the Bible hasn't been on track at all. My name is James Flanders, and I'm learning to walk the path of grace. As always, thank you, my friend, for your prayers. I really need them. Thank you for your encouragement. I wouldn't continue doing this without it, without knowing that it's helping someone, and thank you so much for your support. I love and appreciate you. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.